As a child, I used to have this recurring nightmare. I used to dream that I was the only person left on Earth, except for one spectral, strange, hooded man, I suppose, who could appear over any hill or sand dune, I lived by the sea, and confront me at any time. And I would dream this and then finally see the individual, whoever it was, appear over the sand dune and wake up screaming and sweating. I think it was, if not my first experience of real fear, it was certainly one of the most memorable. And by fear, I don't mean anxiety. So much of the things that we say we're afraid of, I think, are really to do with anxiety, or else fears just become rendered down into just anxious thoughts and feelings. And today, when I was looking at the lectionary for the readings that are set to be read on Sunday, it was Isaiah 43 that came up, in which we have these beautiful lines: "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." These aren't the words of some kind of possessive, controlling God, but the words of a God who is all in all, I suppose, and particularly in regards to those grey and dark areas where one is most afraid in life. Not all of these areas are particularly extreme, I think. I think we all live with day-to-day fears. I think fear can be summed up into two very broad areas. The first, I would say, is the fear of change. I think change is frightening for anybody at any age, and obviously we have to go through stages of change in our lives from a very early age. But it's interesting that I find as I get older, certain kinds of changes are more difficult to deal with. And I think this is true for a lot of people. And so change is often resisted without it having been properly questioned. Nowhere is this more true than in the context of the church, I have to say, where any change at all is often almost provokes can almost provoke a revolution. I don't know whether really the God that we worship in church really minds about change. I don't think so, not nearly as much as we do, but it certainly affects us. Habits and routines are kind of anchors in life. But there are other changes, of course, as well. The changes like moving house, changing jobs, going into retirement, even coming out of retirement, I suppose. So I'm returned again to these beautiful verses from Isaiah, where there is a massive tectonic change going on for a whole society. This is Isaiah 43, I'm talking about the beginning of that chapter, where a whole nation that has been twice exiled now is being asked to up sticks once again and go home. And it's important to understand that they would have been understandably annoyed by this, because they had been told in no uncertain terms by an earlier prophet that they should settle down and make the best of their situation, embrace the society that they were living in, make their contributions to it, and just live as its citizens. And suddenly they're told that no, they're going to pack up and go home, and they don't know what they're going home to, back to their own land, whether it will be a complete sea of devastation in the aftermath of wars and invasions, or whether there will be no cattle or crops or houses razed to the ground or nothing at all to go back to. So there is much to be fearful of there. But I think also the words in these verses speak to that situation. Although many of us, most of us, hopefully, aren't faced with exile, although some are, many of us have experienced having to leave and go somewhere else, sometimes perhaps at very short notice, and the trauma that that generates in a person. So change is one of the things that I think is most dreaded. And with change, of course, comes the fear of being abandoned, of being alone. So loneliness is another fear factor. And again, I think as we grow older, we become increasingly fearful of being left alone, that our life partner will die before we do, and we will not only be bereft of that essential person, but also left alone to cope with all sorts of things, from the mundane to the most difficult and profound that had to do with daily life that we perhaps took for granted when that person was still around. So loneliness is a complicated thing, and it contains fear in it. The other area, of course, in connection with fear, which I think is absolutely crucial and underpins these verses from Isaiah, is the idea that we are afraid that we might not be loved, that we might not be worthy enough. And yet in these verses, you hear God saying, I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. I give Egypt as your ransom because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Strange words to read, really, and often quite difficult to connect with a God with whom perhaps don't really have much time for, or really connect with ourselves. And what could that possibly mean? But I also think that if we find it difficult to connect the God to those words, it's possibly also true that we may find it difficult to accept the idea that we're lovable at all, that that we're worthy at all. And I think this is a big problem for many people in life. Speaking as a woman, I think particularly for us, many of us have spent a great deal of our lives trying to prove ourselves worthy of something or to someone, God being possibly one of those entities or people who need to somehow be appeased, who we need to prove ourselves to. So in this whole area of the fear of not being worthy, of not being good enough, of not meeting the expectations of either God or a parent perhaps, or an employer, or ourselves, lies the fear of failure. I think that's a huge one in the world in which we live today. We fear failure, and we fear failure very often from a very young age. We're kind of programmed to fear failure, that what will happen if we don't get things right, if we don't pass certain tests. Not all of them necessarily tests that involve exams or anything like that, just tests that prove that we're a proper woman, or indeed, for that matter, a proper man, or a proper anything at all. So failure is writ large in our areas of fear and unworthiness. So in that, with all those little ideas in a kind of two little bundles, I would like to just return us to these verses and invite us to maybe get into the place where perhaps we're most fearful, where we're least confident, where we're most worried, where or anxious, whatever it is, whether it's about a change that's about to happen in our lives, whether it's to do with a loss that we've experienced, whether it's to do with some kind of test or trial that's coming up, or whether or not we are loved by someone who we love, or by God himself. And just hear these words. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, and here you can insert your own name, he who formed you, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burnt, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honoured, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Do not fear, for I am with you.